More of Lake Effect now on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Our Project Milwaukee series continues on barriers to achievement at MPS. We're broadcasting with a live studio audience today on street level in the Chase Tower at the corner of Water and Wisconsin. About 28 more minutes to stop by if you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to have you. We've talked a lot about governance and finance this morning, but the place where the rubber hits the road is the classroom. There's an emotional debate about teaching that's playing out in this city and in this country. Some are questioning whether traditional schools of education are either turning out the best teachers or are preparing them adequately. The rise of alternative routes to the classroom, such as Teach for America, are getting a lot of press, but their successes are still being debated, and they only represent a small fraction of the number of teachers who join the profession every year. We'll have actually an all-teacher edition of Lake Effect on tomorrow's show, but this morning we're joined by Bob Peterson. He's the founding editor of the journal Rethinking Schools, and he's also a fifth-grade teacher out at La Escuela Fratney, or Fratney School, in Milwaukee. Thanks for being here this morning.
It's my pleasure.
In the latest edition of Rethinking Schools, there is an editorial that mounts a pretty spirited defense of the teaching profession. I want to talk to you about that and get at some bigger issues, but let me ask you this question first. You write about the kind of increasing intensity of attacks on teachers and the state of teaching. Do you think there are any valid points in what critics of teachers are saying these days?
Well, I think the main point that's valid is that the quality of teaching directly impacts on the quality of learning, and that so teaching quality is key. The question is, how do we ensure and increase the quality of teaching? I think that there's a growing circle of school reformers who see vilifying teachers and their unions and collective bargaining as a way to sort of beat us down and say, okay, we're going to make sure through a much more regimented curriculum and testing system that we're going to see that you do well. I think a lot of these people have no clue what goes on in the classroom, certainly not in an urban classroom setting. I invite them to come and spend not only an hour but a day or a week in a classroom and then see if they come up with the same some of the same silly ideas.
Well, so where do you think the conversation about how to improve teaching and how to improve what ends up going on in the classroom, where does that need to begin?
Well, I think it needs to begin with talking about our community school connections. I mean, we talk about, you know, why, what are the problems in the schools? Oftentimes, people who are business leaders, editorial writers, and policymakers don't ask the broader question of, you know, what are the problems in our community? You know, it's true we're having struggle in our schools. We're also having struggle around transportation issues, job issues, housing issues. And I see that impact in my kids every day. Milwaukee has about 80% of the students a free and reduced lunch, as it's our school is about that, a little under. Many schools, 99%. And it really has an impact. I have students who, this year, two of my students' homes were burnt down, kids whose parents are in the hospital, incarcerated, losing their job. And I know if my students had been born 2 miles north, just 2 miles north, the resources that they'd have for them to learn would be much different. How does that affect a teacher? Okay. Well, I've taught for 30 years in Milwaukee Public Schools. In the last 10 years at Fratney, at our school, which is a great school, we've lost all of our teaching assistants. We've lost our art, our music teacher, our gym teacher. We've lost our program implementer. We lost halftime of a secretary. That means that every 6 days, I have 45 minutes of planning time. I'm with kids all the time. If it rains, I'm with them more because it's indoor recess. I have lunch duty every other day. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, tell you a sob story. I'm saying that that directly affects my capacity to talk to my parents, to have individual contact with students. And if we think that the way we're going to solve this problem is to tell me you have to test more often, you have to give a test every 6 weeks, and you have to look at the data, it's nuts. I need to work with my students where they're at. And so instead, like today at Fratney at 4 o'clock to 5, my fifth grade students are going to put on a student exhibition of all their work. I think we should look at what students do, not how they fill in bubbles. And I think teachers should be judged on that. Today, people come and judge me, people. You can see how my fifth graders have done all year. It's sort of scary because some of them really struggled.
Well, and that gets at the question of how would you assess our system for assessing teachers?
Right now, it's broken. Part of it, the reasons, we have a very good principal at our school who wants to do a good job assessing our teachers. She doesn't have any time. She spends an hour every day with lunch duty because we've lost all our paraprofessionals and nobody can supervise the lunchroom. Teachers can only do so much. There's the question of time is central to improving our schools. You have a middle school teacher at Lincoln, 38 kids in a language arts class. They don't have time to review the papers and to work with kids one-on-one. You wouldn't expect... I mean, nobody in their right mind would think that you could do something like that. Now, in terms of the way teachers can improve is, say, a new teacher comes to our school. Do they have time to come and visit a veteran teacher's classroom, observe? Do veteran teachers have time to go in and look at their classroom and give them feedback? The answer is no. There's not the resources. You know, so what do people want to do instead? Well, let's look at test scores. Well, test scores only show us a snapshot. You know, you miss the whole movie. It's like, okay, let's pay $2 to go to the Downer Theater and look at a snapshot. No, I want to see a movie. And if you want to see a movie, if you want really to understand how kids are doing, we got to look at the movies.
Well, so let me ask a very simple and maybe naive question. Does more money make this problem go away, or does it at least alleviate the broader problem of things like reducing class sizes and giving you more time and opportunity to do your job, and then perhaps illustrate what some of the other endemic problems are?
More money is a necessary but insufficient criteria to improve the Milwaukee Public Schools. We need it, but it's not total. I'll give you an example. For the last 10 years, the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association has promoted a TEAM program, which is an evaluation and assessment and assistant program. It was actually talked about in this morning's report. It's a great program. Over a couple hundred teachers have either been counseled out or improved. You know, that's important because there are teachers who shouldn't be there, and we need to help them, and we have a program negotiated in the collective bargaining agreement that does that. There's a similar program for principals. Guess how many principals have been referred in the last 5 years? Zero. And that's problematic, you know, because the quality of a school community oftentimes rests on its school leadership. And we need to improve the quality of principals by implementing programs such as a peer evaluation program that the teachers have done. Now, that not all teacher unions do that. It's an important program.
If I understand correctly, though, the bill that Governor Doyle signed into law that would allow the DPI superintendent to intervene in districts or individual schools that are struggling also included a provision that eliminated principal tenure. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little controversial. I mean, the bottom line is right now the issue isn't so much tenure. The issue is there accountability on the part of the district to intervene when principals are really not doing well. And most people in the district know who those schools are, and the current administration hasn't done a good job at that. Hopefully the new incoming administration will do a better job. But I think what we have to get back to, though, in the question of why reform isn't working in Milwaukee is that there hasn't been a common agreement in this community to support public schools. For 20 years, many business leaders and policymakers have claimed that a competitive marketplace through the voucher program was going to really turn schools around. It hasn't. It's failed. And I think it's time for us to give a renewed commitment to public schools, which means resources and supporting policies which push teachers and students to do the best they can.
You write, or the editorial in Rethinking Schools talks about the increasing corporatization efforts as behind the criticism of teachers. Do you believe, is it simply an anti-union strategy, or is there something more deeply rooted at work here? I mean, educating kids would seem to be at the heart of reform no matter where it comes from, or would you argue that kids are not at the heart of the people who would criticize teachers?
I don't know people's motives. All I know is the results from the perspective of the classroom. And I know that if this community doesn't come together and say, we want to support public schools, I mean, and give kids what they deserve. I mean, shouldn't kids – when I went to school, I had an art teacher, music teacher, librarian. That's what they have in many of the affluent suburbs. Don't our kids in Milwaukee deserve that? I'm flabbergasted that people can, in a straight face, say, well, we're just throwing resources at the problem, money at the problem. Well, no, we're going to hire quality teachers who are going to help our kids. And short of that, we're washing our hands of the 90% of the kids who are in public schools. And I'd like to see the mayor and other business leaders and editorial writers step up to the plate and say, no, you know what? The kids in Milwaukee deserve what other kids in other more affluent communities have. And we're not going to get that just by testing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not opposed to some tests. I think we have to hold ourselves accountable, and those are good measures. But I'd much rather have the parents and educators look at the work that the kids do, look at the kind of performances they can, their presentations, how they can think. And that can be measured. It takes more time. It takes more resources.
Should we be in Wisconsin, do you think, should going after the second round of Race to the Top funds be a priority?
I'm dubious of the efforts. I mean, I like what Gwen Moore said. She says, why should the children of Chicago and the children of Milwaukee have to compete for limited funds? Don't the children of Milwaukee and the children of Chicago all deserve adequate funding in education? I agree with Gwen.
If you were in just a couple of seconds, if you were the incoming superintendent, what would your first order of business be?
I'd challenge the community to support public education. I would collaborate and not vilify teachers and the union. And I would listen, not only listen to teachers and parents and students, but to create structures that really allow input, ongoing input, not just listen to the business people, but listen to the people who day in and day out, even when it rains, during recess duty, are working with our kids.
Thanks so much, Bob Peterson.
My pleasure.
Bob Peterson is the founding editor of Rethinking Schools and a fifth grade teacher at La Escuela Fraterni in River West. There's a link to the Rethinking Schools website from WUWM.com. One last break now, and when we return, we'll talk with Alan Borsuk, who's reported on Milwaukee Public Schools for years. But first, a final comment from an MPS teacher. This is Lake Effect on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.
Our last email comes from Penny Urban, an MPS teacher, who writes, I am very concerned about the number of students in the classrooms, especially kindergartens that are not part of the SAGE program. We have the research that shows us how important the learner-teacher relationship is and what helps to develop this, as well as information about successful relationships with families. But when a teacher has 30 or more students in a class, it's difficult to nurture and build relationships. Sometimes it's like having too many rats in a small cage. Budget shortages have been increasing the child-to-adult ratio, which is not productive in the early years of a child's development. Even the state daycare regulations are clear about best practices related to how many children should be with an adult to have their needs met. This problem contributes to children not succeeding in school. When comparing MPS class size to some other districts around Wisconsin, you can find kindergartens with only 24 students per class. This does impact learning.